I'm going to call to order a regular meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District. It is Wednesday, November 1st, 2017. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Okay.
Board Member White?
Here.
Board Member Hill?
Here.
And Chairman Scholes?
Present. Please stand with us for the flag salute.
Let's come to your heart and call me. Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. How about agenda review? Do any members of the board want to change the order of the agenda?
I saw nothing.
Okay. Someone can make a motion on that item?
I move to accept the agenda.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? None. Motion carries. All right. Let's move to public comment. Is there anyone that would like to make public comment tonight?
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and apparently you guys have some stiff competition on television tonight. And honestly, I'd rather be watching the game, too. Tonight I'd like to bring up three things that we have discussed before, but I think I just want to underscore some things that the public is interested in seeing your board do. Number one, reverse the censure of Jim Hill. There's no evidence that Mayor Hill deserved to be censured. And I think you can do it swiftly, or it's just not going to go away. We're just going to keep coming back. And let Mr. Hill present his case if necessary. You had different board members that censured him than those that set the wheels in motion for censure. Along those lines, the sanitation district has not put the communications from Stu Jenkins on the website. We talk about open government. We talk about transparency all the time. And something as small as that, yet as important as that, is not on the district's website. Be at least as transparent as the city of Arroyo Grande, where those items are available in the section of their website where the meeting took place. But you're not there, and I don't understand what's the holdup. Lastly, Mayor Scholes admitted to meeting with staff members. This violates the law. The citizens have asked that he be investigated. He's admitted to doing what Mayor Hill was alleged to have done. Mayor Hill didn't do that. Mayor Scholes said he did. An investigation should take place. And maybe compare the apples and oranges. And that maybe would give you more reason to dismiss the censure. I don't know what action to take against Mayor Scholes, because this is highly unusual what happened. It's not customary to meet with staff to help them through their grievances or whatever he did. And then it's also unusual that one would admit it in open public. So those are the three things that I ask, and I will continue to ask. And I don't think I'm the only one who's going to ask. So these things need to be put to bed, and I hope you begin tonight.
Is there anyone else?
Hi, Colin Kubel. I just want to follow up with what Julie just stated. In the government ethics laws, and you should have all read it, everything else. Transparency in government requires that all government business be conducted in the public eye. The Brown Act provides that public commissions, boards, councils, and the other public agencies in the state exist to aid in the conduct of people's business. It is the intent of the law that their actions be taken openly and that their deliberations be conducted openly. The people of this state do not yield their sovereignty to the agencies which serve them. The people in delegating authority do not give their public servants the right to decide what is good for the people to know and what is not good for them to know. The people insist on remaining informed so they may retain control over the instruments they have created. I also state that the things that need to be put on the agenda need to be put there on the website. They need to be put there for everyone to read, and it needs to be done openly. This is the Brown Act, code 54950, and right now the Sandboard is not doing what this code says. It needs to be fully open, and so we need to follow the Brown Act completely and fully. And everything that Julie just stated up here, the investigations that need to happen, everything else, council, we're speaking to council directly through you. It needs to happen, and we need to get this over so we can go forward. And that's all I have to say tonight.
Is there anyone else?
I'm not sure if this is the appropriate time in the meeting to bring this up. Have you reached a decision to advertise for a new district manager yet, or is that something that's to be discussed tonight?
I believe that's on the agenda item tonight.
Okay. I'll wait until that agenda item comes up then.
Anyone else?
Well, again, going back to the investigation, Patricia Price, Arroyo. I went to an ethics training Monday. Was really interesting. I learned a lot of stuff that I didn't know. And one part of it was fair process laws. And Stu Jenkins mentioned that Mary Hill's constitutional rights had not been, they'd been violated because he didn't get due process. And that is having, it applies to quasi-judicial matters. And I didn't bring the right glasses. I didn't bring any glasses. He has a right to be heard, and he wasn't heard. Oh, thank you. Yes. Procedural due process requires notice and opportunity to be heard. Fair and impartial decision makers. And I don't think that we had a fair and impartial decision. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Ron Arnoldson, I just want to say I pretty much agree with the things that Julie Tucker brought forward. I really don't feel that there was enough evidence to censure Mr. Hill. And if there was, then I think that there should be a censure of Mayor Scholes also, as he has admitted to basically doing the same things that Mayor Hill was accused of. I'm kind of disappointed that the people that put Mayor Hill on the hot seat weren't here to vote for the censure. They seemed to be absent for whatever reasons, I don't know. And I also would like to see any communication that Stu Jenkins had be placed on the website as it was in Aurora Grandy. I think it's only fair to all concerned. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one coming forward, I'm going to close public comment, and we're going to move on with our agenda. We're going to move to the consent agenda. There are four items on consent. Do any members of the board have questions on consent items, or would they like to pull any items on consent?
I'd like to pull item 5A and 5C.
And we may still have a problem on 5B because I was not at that meeting, and there was no recording of that meeting, so I could not follow up. I don't know when Ms. Austin will be able to return.
Okay. I think we were both present at that meeting, correct, Jim? Huh? I think we should be okay on that.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
When we do IA, we found a couple of clerical errors on the warrants. I have a highlighted modified document that I can distribute if you so desire, and I have some extras for the audience. So,
okay.
Just give me the word, and I'll do that.
All right. So then we'll take items 5B and 5D, and I think Karen on 5B, if you want to, if you were to abstain when that point comes, it'll be fine.
Yeah.
Any discussion on those two items, 5B and 5D?
No, I'm delighted to see the Cherry Avenue project completed.
Let me see if the public has any comments on the consent agenda. None? Okay. So we are on 5B, 5D. I'll bring it back to the board. I'm looking for a motion on...
Mr. Chair, I move approval of items 5B and 5D, which is the approval of minutes of September 28th meeting and notice of contract completion for the Cherry Avenue Pipe Bridge Maintenance Project.
Very good.
I second it.
You're going to second that?
Okay. Yeah.
Very good. And, so let's just say all. There's a motion, there's a second, there's no additional discussion. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. And Karen, were you abstaining from item 5B on special meeting? Just
yeah.
For clarification.
But I think there's with yeah. You two gentlemen.
Agreed. Agreed. Okay, let's move to item 5A. This is approval of warrants. Jim, I think you had requested this item be pulled. So I don't know if you want a staff report or if you just want to make comments.
I would obviously like to see the corrections that Mr. Karp has, but once again, I note that there's $6,170 of bills to outside counsel that have not been brought to the board for approval. I have the same issue that I've had ongoing with this is lacking board approval, and these charges just seem to escalate. We don't know how many investigations are involved here. We don't see any work product from the attorneys, and I continue to be unable to support it.
Okay. Paul, did you have anything? I know you've given us a highlighted page. Is there anything that you wanted to highlight on here?
I have this matter of the budget adjustment to address the outside attorney's fees. It'll be later on the agenda. However, I have nothing to add other than what I've put in that report.
Very good. Karen, you have any questions?
No, I do not.
Okay, let me open this up to the public. Please come forward.
Julie Tacker again, and I'm okay with most of these. The heartburn I have, of course, is over Liebert Cassidy Whitmore. The fact is, your council, your board, has only authorized $7,500 to Liebert Cassidy Whitmore in relation to the Hill investigation. The actual question of going beyond that has still not been brought to you for that that firm. I think you're out of order with the agenda item asking you to increase the budget line item before you actually approve this warrant, or after you approve the warrant. So you're out of order there. You need to approve the budget adjustment before you approve this warrant. But again, this warrant, along with several other warrants associated with the Hill investigation, have not been brought to your board in any formal way but for coming through on the warrant packet. You set out with one price, and that's what it should remain. Personally, I would reject these warrants from Liebert Cassidy Whitmore based on the shoddy work. Mayor Hill and Mr. Jenkins never told you that he was not asked to be investigated. And I may be speaking out of turn, and I'm sorry, but I think you need to know, because I have had this conversation with Mr. Hill myself. When Scott Nelson reached out to Mayor Hill, he left a message on his answering machine. He did. Mayor Hill and Jenkins let you know that. What they didn't tell you is that he never said he wanted to get together with him. And I'm paraphrasing, he said he wanted to bring him up to speed on what was happening with the investigation. So he never even asked to meet with Mayor Hill. And then when there was any kind of dialogue between Liebert Cassidy Whitmore and Jenkins, as you know, it was Liebert Cassidy Whitmore that broke off communication. So again, if you don't want to go backwards and reopen this baby up, you're going to keep hearing about it.
Okay.
So reject the Liebert Cassidy Whitmore bill.
Is there anyone else?
I just want to add my endorsement to what Julie said about getting the sequence right here. You do need to deal with Liebert Cassidy Whitmore's invoice before you start approving the warrant for it. Thank you.
Very good. Anyone else?
Patricia Price, very briefly. I noticed on the warrants that the amount that is owed to Liebert Cassidy and Whitmore is only slightly less than the $7,500 that we allotted for this investigation. Only $15,000 was allotted in total by Aurora Grandy and the district. And I think we're right around $70,000 at this time. I don't know the exact figure, but it's around in there. I'm asking who okayed the expenditures after the first $7,500. I'd like to know how many investigations are going on now, and I'd like to see what each investigation cost. I would like an accounting of how many there are, what each one cost, what it was about, if that's possible, and I really would like answers. We've been asking for months and months and haven't gotten any answers.
Is there anyone else?
Hi, Colin Kubel. I would like to ask what account the Sand District is going to pay for these excess legal bills. Can't come out of 26, can't come out of 20, and you can't, should not come out of maintenance. Where is it going to come from? That's my question. I would like that answer.
Okay. Is there anyone else?
So I kind of want to go back to Liebert Cassidy, the law firm, and just so to keep people apprised, as a ratepayer, I have a problem with Julie Tacker, a non-ratepayer, costing our district money. Now, on here I have $11,000, and I did amend it to, or perhaps less, question mark. I can't prove how much, but I was told, as were several other people, by Shalene Bennett of Cassidy Liebert, that was the cost, that she cost Aurora Grandy $5,500, and that the sanitation district would be charged equally or more. At the same time, one could suppose that Ms. Tacker did volunteer that she requested the 3,700 documents, and as part of a FOIA, Freedom of Information Act. So you could determine just the number of documents that have to be redacted by the law firm. That, you know, how much time does that take? Do they get paid by the hour? I really don't know, but I think it's fair to say it costs quite a lot of money. No matter what the cost, it's high, and it costs the district by a non-ratepayer. So keep that in mind when people complain about your legal fees. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
fundamentals. And I also agree that we'd like to see some of these investigations, what they really cost us. Because I understand all of this legal fees is not just from the Jim Hill investigation. And if you really want to shake a finger at stupid people who started this thing, there's a couple of ratepayers that really put us under the gun here. And you both know who they are. One's from Aurora Grande, the one's from Oceano. I think their names are Mary and Patty.
Anyone else?
Debbie Peterson, I'm a ratepayer. Speaking again to these legal fees that are being paid this evening prior to approval, or perhaps being approved prior to approval. I went through the it's over 200-page Knudsen report. We do have great work product from that investigation to look at some of the things that had been recommended, because I was somewhat alarmed at a city council meeting a while back. It would have been in April, where we had a report stating that what was going on was a recommendation that came from the Knudsen report. And so I wanted to go back and see what the Knudsen report said. And I think what's been happening with Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore is exactly the opposite of what was recommended in the Knudsen report. He said, given the recent history of the district's legal expense related to personnel problems, it seems prudent to adopt a district policy to include professional and independent human resources person to be a safety net for employees who have a grievance with the district leadership without the fear of retaliation. And then he went on to make some other suggestions about how to do that. That was on page 120 of his report. On page 22 of his report, I found a very interesting quote from Mr. Ferrara, who was a director from 2000 to 2014, and he said, if anyone wants to blame how much, I'm not going to name the name, group made at the district, they could blame it on the board of directors. I thought that was interesting hindsight coming from him. Knudsen also said on page 116, there was no HR function at the district that allowed for employees at the district to file complaints or grievances without the threat of retaliation. That's what we've got going on now. And that is not what Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore are doing. They are witch hunting. They are not trying to represent employees in the manner in which Carl Knudsen suggested. In his summary, his executive summary, he said, as demonstrated above, there was a clear need for an ombudsman or HR person who could have advocated for the employee. And in our opinion, the issues could have been diffused without ending in expensive lawsuits bankrolled by the district ratepayers. Further, the consensus of district employees, the operators, was that a certain group was performing work at the plant that wasn't warranted or needed this type of feedback through an HR person or a person who was independent could have been valuable real-time feedback to the board in the evaluation of the district, including the district superintendent, the district administrator, and the district engineer. And then he goes on to talk about malfeasance in office.
Is there anyone else? Seeing no one come forward, let me bring it back to the board. And so, Mr. Carp, there was the question regarding sequencing of the warrants before us before the mid-year budget adjustment. Can you address that?
Yeah, the board has told us that they would like to keep the line item with regard to attorney's fees within the line item identified under Fund 19. The Fund 19, of course, is not over budget. In my opinion, you could prove it, but it would be inconsistent with your previous direction to me, and I apologize that I did not put this ahead of approval of the warrants. So I stand here. If you'd like to hold this item over until we've discussed and taken care of that item, I'm willing to work with you on that. I'm happy to work with you on it.
Yeah, let's do that.
What's the pleasure to hold this over?
Yeah, I'd be pleased to do that. We can do it later.
Are we okay with that?
Can we do it later in the meeting? Just amend the agenda.
Okay. So we'll put that item on hold. I think there's one other item that was pulled. That's 5C, approval of minutes for the meeting of October 18th.
Yes, Mr. Chair. On item 5C, page 4, The statement is made. Director Hill provided an illustrative review of the reports, noting questions regarding the financial amounts shown. That is correct, but I would request that the numbers of approximately $650,000 not properly accounted for fiscal year 16-17 and approximately $200,000 not properly accounted for August 2017 be included in the minutes. With that, I would move approval of the minutes.
Well, let me see if there's anyone from the public that would like to comment on this item.
Julie Tacker and I, too, had some heartburn over this single sentence about Mayor Hill's presentation. For, I don't know, 15 minutes, he went through the cash reports since last year, last fiscal year, and he showed in detail. And what after the meeting, there was a whiteboard here, a flip chart, and after the meeting, I turned to Mary Bassett and asked her if she wanted those sheets of paper because we didn't want to leave them behind. I didn't want to leave them behind. Actually, they're hanging on my office wall right now. Because I said, Mary, do you want these for the record? And she said, because she was taking minutes that night, and she said, no, I've written it all down. So she has those numbers, and the minutes should reflect those numbers. The fact is, we were under the impression that there'd be some resolution to the question, and that would be on tonight's agenda or certainly some report going forward of when we could expect those numbers to, or the question, the $850,000 question, when can we expect that to be answered? But these minutes are wholly inadequate. This is a serious matter, and to not even provide the numbers that Mr. Hill presented to the board, I just think clearly the minutes need to be amended and maybe brought back for approval next time. I don't know if you watched the presentation, Mayor Scholes. You weren't there. But I would think that you would have some heartburn over the concern about these numbers. It's a lot of money that's not accounted for.
Is there anyone else? Okay, I'm going to close it and bring it back to the board. And unfortunately, I did not watch that meeting, so I will have to recuse myself from this item. So I will leave it up to the two board members who were, in fact, in attendance that evening.
Again, Mr. Chair, then I would move approval of the minutes of October 18th, amended as follows on item 5C, page 4. Add to the statement, Director Hill provided an illustrative review of the reports, noting questions regarding the financial amounts shown. Specifically, $650,000 approximately not properly accounted for in fiscal year 16-17, and again, approximately $200,000 not properly accounted for August of 2017.
I have a little heartburn. Could we put an alleged in there somewhere? Well, you're making a flat statement. I don't know that that's, I mean, it wasn't an action item. It was not an approval of something. It was just something you presented. I'm not questioning you. I'm just saying for absolute accuracy.
Perhaps the administrator and technical consultant could address whether those numbers are indeed in question.
Well, they were in question, but I'm still saying I don't know.
Okay, so it sounds like there's
because
a motion.
Because it was not an action item, but I will accept that.
So it sounds like, oh. Okay, because I wasn't sure, were you going to second his motion?
I'll go ahead and second his motion for, let's okay. Move forward.
All right. There's a motion and there's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? And I'm going to abstain. All right. We're going to move to item 6A. This is district management options, consideration, and direction. Mr. Karp.
Yes. Board Chair and Directors, we have before you a memorandum which has identified previous methods of managing or administering the sanitation district affairs which have been previously employed. There are seven different methods we've tried. The most recent one included a full-time district administrator. We look for your advice on what you would prefer. The most recent attempt seems to be under quite a bit of criticism, but I don't have a reading from a majority of the board as to whether or not that is a consideration for directing us. And I'm not looking for that so much as I'm looking for, do you want to pick one of these? Do you want to discuss it a little bit? We've included the brochure from that last hire for your comment. And with that, I'd be happy to turn it over to the board.
Is there a staff recommendation on this item, Mr. Kern?
We asked for direction.
Okay. That's what I did.
We do recommend that you have administration, though. We don't.
I did see that. I had read that under.
We absolutely think we have enough things going on that you need.
Yeah. Well, I had read that in the staff report.
So I apologize for not clarifying
the staff report. I just wanted to be certain on that. Karen, you have questions?
Yeah, I really have heartburn about this brochure that was presented. I didn't see it before, but my heartburn starts on the second page when we have a beautiful picture of San Luis Obispo. almost the entire brochure could be sent out to seek any administrator for any position anywhere. Uh-huh. It's just what I would term full of boilerplate, which is probably a term nobody else knows. But it's just the way a lot of this is written. It doesn't make sense. And there's no
specificity.
Specificity, thank you. Of what we're looking for, there's no details that somebody has to have any sewer plant operation certificates, or they have to have, I mean, there's just all kinds of ways that I don't like this brochure. That I could see it. So if we are going to go ahead and take advantage of our opportunity to continue with the company, the Headhunter company, I think we certainly have to redo the brochure.
Okay. Do you have any questions?
I certainly share Director White's concern over the inadequacy of the brochure. I think that probably explains some of our issues over the last more than a year.
Okay.
Goes somewhat toward explaining those at any rate. Doesn't, as Director White noted, doesn't ever mention any prior sanitation district experience.
All right.
My next question. My first question, I don't think there's any question about needing a full-time district administrator. But my question would be whether we go ahead with this company. I have, other than looking at the brochure, I have no knowledge about the company, and it certainly is an economic process to go that way. So anyway, that's all. I'll shut up now.
Okay. Anything else, Jim? Any other questions?
No questions on the staff report. Thank you.
So let me open this up to the public and see if there's anyone that would like to address this item.
I'm going to keep this a little bit shorter than I had originally intended because I think the rest of it can wait until you've gone a little farther in the process. I thank Mrs. White for her comments because I too agree with that about the lack of specificity. And generally, I have questions about the whole process of finding people to work directly for the board. With the whole headhunter situation, I'm just I lack a little confidence in it, more than a little. And I'm just wondering if there's other options, whether it be other companies or some other way of doing this, because I just feel like we bought a bad deal with our last full-time administrator. And it's something that if you do hire a headhunter, we need to get more specific. We need to have a little more closely maybe monitoring or oversight from the board to make sure a little better investigation of the potential candidates, because we don't want to go through this again in the near future if we can help it. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Julie Tacker, in your budget line item for the headhunter, you've given approval for $23,000. You spent $17,000. Maybe if you'd spent the full amount, the brochure would have been better. But clearly, if you decide to go with CPS, which I recommend you don't, she's going to charge you to rewrite that brochure. What I am opposed to a full-time administrator. You are a single-purpose agency. You do one thing. And clearly, the previous administrator had too much time on his hands and spent an inordinate amount of time making a mess. I'll just be nice about it. Some of the things that we criticized before you even entered into the contract with Gerhard Huebner was the need for a full-time administrator, but also that you needed to get your benefit package in order so that when someone did come to work for you, that they weren't married, the district wasn't married to them for life without some sort of step increases or merit increases. Coming to this district just for the benefits, someone was blinded by that and their ability to bring the best administration to the district didn't happen. So you really need to look at your benefits before you hire someone. Then you advertise with what the new benefits are for the district. I'd like to see you have a permanent superintendent so that you can see what the skills of that person is, and perhaps your administrator could augment that person's skills. If you have a highly trained superintendent, then you wouldn't have to have someone as just a compatible relationship there. I recommend that you look for an interim annuitant again, 6 more months, not necessarily these gentlemen, but maybe somebody else, because you do need to get some of these other things put behind you before you go out for a new administrator, whether it's part-time or full-time, but I think that those conversations need to be had. Lastly, the administration staff right now, the way, and I only can imagine, I don't know who's there now. I see that Amy's back, and I'm thrilled about that. I'm hoping she finds, show me the money. Show me the money, Amy. I believe that Mario is still there. I think Mary's still there. I don't know if Tana is still there, but that tells me that there's 4 people in an office that used to be run by just Amy. And so, again, if you're going to have a fat administrative staff, you need less of an administrator because your staff is going to be carrying the load. Very, very last.
I need you to wrap up.
I'm wrapping up. Thank you for your indulgence. When you went through the recruitment process last time and you ended up with Huebner, there were 10 applicants, but only 2 people were interviewed. The board needs to do its job, and I don't know how many you want to interview, but 2 is not enough. And when there's only 10, it seems to me that you could have interviewed all 10. Sometimes the cities get 50 or 75 applications. It makes sense to have your recruiter whittle that down. But when there's only 10, you got to find the best of the best that you've been given. And you didn't get that.
Is there anyone else?
Colleen Kubel. It seems to me that the board should look at the history of the Sand District and what has worked and what has not worked. It seems, when you go back and look at the history, when there's a part-time person administrator, the district is running better than if you have a full-time. And so I think the board should look at that before you make a decision on whether it's full-time, part-time. Just consider what has worked in the district and what doesn't. And that should be a really good example of the way that it should be gone.
Anyone else?
Ron Arnoldson, I think you should look seriously at a part-time administrator before you move forward on another full-time administrator. The other thing that I would urge you to do is that the three of you, maybe you either make this an agenda item so that you know what your goals are, so that you can put together your own kind of brochure so that it, that the headhunter or whoever you choose know what your goals are so that they can hire someone that is can accomplish those goals. Redundancy, a reclamation, whatever your goals are, those should be the number one thing that this person that comes on board next is capable of doing and can prove it to you before you hire them. Not that they've been in the water district, in the water business for years, I don't really care. Can they do sewer? Can they maintain a sewer plant? And as Julie said, if you have a strong superintendent, I think that carries a lot of weight and also is really beneficial to a part-time administrator. I think together they could work well, and I think that was part of the problem with the last full-time administrator. He started right off the get-go, button heads with the superintendent. And if he'd have just kept his cool and worked with the superintendent, I think we'd all be very happy at this point. Things would have moved forward really well. So I think, as I said, maybe you need to put together an agenda item where you sit down and you agree. Or maybe you have a handout that everybody gets to put together what their goals are so that you know what this next man that comes on board or woman, you know what you want them to do, and they know what you want them to do. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Patricia Price. I wanted to say that I have always thought a part-time administrator would be better. It's been disastrous the two times we've had full-time administrators. We've had big projects done under a part-time administrator. The trickling filter and the number two digester were installed when the district had a part-time administrator. I would like to suggest that we set out and let the public help what it is we want in an administrator and vet them properly. I would like to see a citizens committee involved in this because we citizens are very unhappy with what's been going on. Hire locally if you possibly can. I don't know why we need a headhunter initially, why we can't put our own thing in the paper that says there's a position open and these are the qualifications we need. Save ourselves some money that way. And then if that doesn't work, if we don't get the applicants, we did have more applicants than were interviewed this last time. And we picked a lemon. We very much picked a lemon. And I would really like to see a citizens committee involved in what we do with the next administrator, part-time or full-time. And I do prefer part-time with a good, strong superintendent at the plant.
Anyone else?
I'd like to give you just, Debbie Peterson, I live in the city of Grover Beach. I'd like to give you just a brief synopsis of where we've been and how we've handled administrators. I know you have that in your report, but I think I can simplify it a little bit. In 1983, Paul Karp took over the sanitation district. It was nearing bankruptcy, and a couple of years later, he left in place a model that included a part-time administrator, and that worked really well for over two decades. The problems came when the administrator assumed a full-time status. And once the administrator was acting in full-time capacity, the district experienced severe financial, legal, personnel, and operational issues. That was 30 years. For the 10 years prior to 2013, we had a weak administrator, not administrator, sorry, we had a weak superintendent. And when we had a strong superintendent prior to him, Chuck Ellison, who's gone on to set up a hugely successful wastewater treatment plant management business. When we had a competent superintendent, and at that time they didn't call them superintendents. That somehow changed during the years that weren't so successful. Before that, he was called the chief plant operator, and I think that's more appropriate given the definition of what his job is. In 2013, Paul Karp came back, and we got another system in place with part-time administrators, and things ran very well. We had a strong superintendent. Then we brought in another full-time administrator, and things have been going downhill since. So I would like to look at history. Why not go back to the proven model that works? Why do we want to keep trying a model that has been disastrous twice, as opposed to one that's worked twice? And I also wanted to just go over a little bit. The Knudsen report, the way it was set up was the methodology for the past management practices review was predicated on a look back and set benchmarks and then a look forward. And so they looked at three different eras, which are the three I've referenced here. And one of the things that they said very clearly was that it is very important that the and this is from Knudsen, very important that we have a strong administrator who works with the strong part-time administrator who works with the strong superintendent with the board, that they have a joint responsibility. And that's something that the Water Quality Board has put in place in their plan, and it's something that Knudsen referred to. He cited it twice. He said, daily district management of the wastewater treatment plant and collection system is carried out by the plant superintendent, and the plant superintendent reports directly to the district administrator and the district board of directors. The plant superintendent and district administrator are jointly responsible for the implementation of the SSMP. And so I wanted to suggest what...
Debbie, I need you.
Yeah, I will. I wanted to suggest what Knudsen suggested, which is you have a good secretary, you have a very strong CPO, and you have a part-time administrator. That works.
Is there anyone else?
Shirley Gibson Helsian, I'm in support of a full-time administrator. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, I'm going to close this, bring it back to the board, and let's have some discussion. Jim, you want to start?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The recommendations or the possibilities that the staff is brought forward to us is first consider a city administrator of a member agency. Certainly from a Rio Grande standpoint, I don't think that's viable. I believe our city administrators have multiple responsibilities and are I don't see where any time would be able to be spared for administration of the district. The second potential is Director of Public Works of a member agency, and I see the same or possibly even more issues with that. While those individuals, either the city administrator or the Director of Public Works, would certainly be able to handle the necessary work. I just don't see that being viable from time and conflict of other responsibilities. The third possibility is the consulting engineer. I do believe that obviously the district has a need for a consulting engineer. in terms of an administrator, I had thought a full-time administrator would be a good thing because they could, I envision someone as an administrator and possibly project manager. And rethinking that a bit, a consulting engineer and project manager is probably something we need, but I don't see that as the administrator. The administrator needs financial background, you know, ability to present reports and so forth. So that could probably be handled on a part-time basis, administering human resource consultants and so forth. Part-time by a public works manager from another agency, same issue. Our public works managers, and I don't mean to speak for Grover, but I would be surprised if your public works director or managers had lots of spare time that they could devote to.
I think they're fixing streets right now.
Yeah. I would be very surprised if they didn't have their hands more than full. Part-time by a retired public works manager, that may be something that could possibly work, but would again probably be limited by the 6 month and the PERS issues. But that may be something that if we need to act in 6 months' time, say, to do another interim position, that may well work. Full-time district administrator, again, I'm seeing that full-time administration is probably not needed. As an interim district administrator, the chief plant operator, I wouldn't recommend that either. I do agree that we need a strong chief plant operator, but other than for very short duration absences of the administrator, I would not recommend that. So where does that leave us? Either the part-time by a retired public works manager may be an option, and soliciting, and I do appreciate the thought that there may very well be well-qualified people in the local area that we could the members of the public have offered to help with perhaps an ad hoc committee or something of the nature that we could revise the, and I think it needs a lot of revision, this kind of baseline generic solicitation that we have previously paid for, revise that to something that more closely meets our needs and possibly look in the local area to see if someone might be interested in the position on a permanent part-time basis.
Okay. Great. Thanks for those comments. Karen?
Most of these things have been tried before with varying degrees of success. I would say you need a strong chief plant operator to run the plant, and need a full-time administrator to look at the redundancy project. I know the amount of work that's going into Oceano's water program and our involvement in 13th Street redevelopment, airport bridge redevelopment, just the stuff in Oceano that we're having to be a part or a full-time, it's our full-time project or a part-time, and I know how busy our manager is. And yeah, you can have a consulting engineer, but somebody's got to be the boss of the consulting engineer. We've seen that go south. So I think you need some full-time administrator to run the funds of the district, the employees of the district, the redundancy program, the groundwater sustainability, and all the rest of the things that are kind of peripheral to running the plant on a daily basis. That's my thinking. And the other thing that I will throw out to everybody is I think local or far away, there may be some difficulty in finding these employees because of what has gone on for the last three or four years in this district. It, you know, there's a lot of people who are going to say, not, no way, no way. Anyway, that's my view.
Okay. So,
what do you think?
Well, I know that Mr. Karp, who I think some people are saying his praises and whatnot, it sounds like they are recommending a full-time administrator, and I would tend to agree with that. I don't want to confuse personnel issues, HR issues, with operational issues. There are still a lot of projects on the books. But that said, I do agree. There's one member of the public that had talked about having a strong plant superintendent, and maybe that is something. There's something valid about that process. I think the only potential challenge is, let me ask staff, because I understand that the board does not have the authority to hire or fire a plant superintendent. So I want to get some clarification on that.
It's true.
Your staff is working for your district administrator, and the district administrator works for the board. We would have recommended probably that you get your district administrator first and let him select the staff, or her, excuse me, him or her select the staff. You're going to pay the same amount for a plant superintendent. You might as well get the plant superintendent you want, whether it's a strong superintendent or whatever that person's expertise is. I think we just have to do the job flyer and pick one that we're happy with. And if the board wants to be involved at some point as far as reviewing apps or something like that and give their 2 cents to the administrator, I don't think he would object to that. But the attorney, is that a no-no or? This is before hire, Gil.
Correct. No, I think everything I've heard from staff is correct. Now that the plant superintendent position is open, I do agree that it should be the administrator who selects that person, but you do have the opportunity to reclassify that position, make it an at-will position subject to contract.
And I was thinking that's Model B. So Model A would be an administrator, whether full-time or part-time. You know, we'll have to figure that out. They would then hire the plant superintendent, or the reverse becomes, or the second model becomes, make both positions at will, subject to board hiring, and that's something that we probably should have a conversation about. I don't know if we can do that tonight. I think you're just looking for direction.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And then I would also say that we understand that there are folks who are ratepayers and others that have concerns, and we are still trying to build some trust. And so I would say let's talk about the interview process going forward. We do have a firm that has basically given us a 2-year guarantee. They'd be willing to come back and do that for and then only cover reimbursable expenses. So we have to decide that. But if we, I think maybe we can go through the process to have a community engagement panel. I don't know what that looks like. But I think maybe someone that can meet the community, not that the community would decide, but I mean, I think I've seen other organizations, not sand districts, but, you know, maybe there's a model out there. So,
fire department.
So I know that Mr. Karp and Sweet have had, I think we had talked about you being, your duration being here 6 months.
I think we have about 3 months left.
Okay.
We were hoping, we're on target with getting this matter to you now, but, you know, time is going by.
Yeah. Okay. So, what's the pleasure of the board?
I would ask Mr. Karp if staff has a particular recommendation for the board of how we might proceed from your prior experience of other similar instances that were successfully concluded, how the board might proceed.
Well, certainly the job flyer has to be revised, and there was no intent on our part to put this thing out for a job flyer tomorrow or something like that. We just wanted to show you what's of record, what you've already paid for, and we recognized that some revision was going to be necessary. Maybe a total rewrite of the thing was to be necessary. The direction we're looking for is, do we want to use this headhunter and take advantage of this perceived value that's in the bank already invested, or would you like to use another alternative, like perhaps some of the ideas we heard this evening? And like Ms. White said, we've done all seven of these already. Mm-hmm. And of course, both Rick and I are available to help you move through whatever you decide. We think there's enough work in the foreseeable future to be a full-time position. And that's assuming that we get a superintendent to run the plant.
Let me ask, the amount of work that's there for a full-time person, is that administrative work, or would it be something on the order of project management, such as the redundancy project, when that starts to move forward physically, that I would expect that we would have someone directly representing the district as an employee or a close contractor monitoring the contract as it progresses and the whatever construction activities to make sure that goes according to plan.
Sure. Good question. We believe there is enough administrative work to keep an administrator busy for the foreseeable future over the next couple of years. We would envision a continued involvement with the design professionals and construction management professionals with the redundancy project, with the groundwater project, with any of those. They'd all have their own individual expert project manager who would work directly with the administrator. My experience has been that we generally don't put something out like this out to bid without involving not only the plant superintendent, but I've had best luck with getting all the operators involved with the professionals at the design phase and try and get most of the needs addressed in the designs. But the actual administration, Director Hill, is usually done by a CM guy that's working for either designer or a separate consultant.
Okay. So maybe we should, let's see where the board majority is on this. I would just say one model, like I said before, would be to, well, I guess we have to determine, is it full-time or part-time administrator? So.
Well, I'd support it full-time. I think if it wasn't for the redundancy, I'd say maybe you could get by.
Okay.
Because you got to have somebody who's the boss supervising the people who are the consulting engineers for the project.
Yes, ma'am.
Somebody who's got to be on top of all this.
Jim?
I do agree that obviously we need administration of all the various issues that are going on. Certainly with the redundancy, potential recycling, the groundwater projects that the district is either directly or peripherally involved with, that may be still a good course of action.
Okay. And I would agree with that. I think then the question becomes, right now the process is that the board hires the administrator, and that administrator hires the plant superintendent. Is that a model that we think should stand, or I don't know how we go through the process if we were to make that position at will?
Well, I think that model should stand.
My understanding is that we have an administrator who reports to the board, and all other employees report to the administrator, which in my experience, indicates that the administrator is the one who hires the individuals into all staff positions. The chief plant operator, I think, is a special position. Mr. Knudsen noted, and I agree with him, that in the water board, I believe, concurs that the chief plant operator should make reports at least to the board, and the board should be apprised of the operating concerns through the chief plant operator. But in terms of that management model, that I think, and council can weigh in on that, that I don't know that the board can directly hire, unless possibly by contract, the chief plant operator.
Yeah, I mean, I think the model is similar to the city manager.
City manager.
Form of government, right? And I would be okay with that. Legal counsel, do you have any?
It's certainly the most common form is you have a strong city manager, city administrator, and then all department heads are hired by that person. Some counties, for example, the county of Santa Barbara, department heads are hired and fired by the Board of Supervisors. So you do have options available.
Okay. So there's two options that are laid out in the staff report that deal with the issue of recruitment of a full-time administrator and whether we utilize CPS HR services. The other is obviously the second one I talked about, identifying another option for district manager and district staff to identify challenges and opportunities and subsequently report to the board.
CPS would be quicker. Mm-hmm. Would be more expeditious than putting together some other system, because there is no other system right now, is there?
Unless no, we'd have to give an alternative. So yeah. What if we gave staff direction to, let's say, move forward with one, but then I think there's been valid concerns regarding the brochure and the interview process, because we can still kind of work that out. We can't work that out tonight, but
we can. Yes, with a direction that, for instance, if you pick the consultant to be a headhunter, or if you pick some other method for us to do that, we're still going to work on the brochure, and you know, what help we get in that, we might get somebody that's a peer of ours that might help us and review what we got. I don't know how that would happen, but the first idea is, how do you want to proceed? And then we can get the details to you on another future board meeting, give you the job flyer, let you shoot at it, let's revise it, let's get it to where the board is happy with the administrator job description and benefits, and move on.
Okay. And then we can talk about the project management aspect, Jim, and the public, the community could have an opportunity to weigh in. Okay.
I do think we need to move forward as quickly as possible, okay. But I don't...
Want to try a motion?
Yeah. I'll go ahead and do it unless James wants to. I make a motion. Mm-hmm. Authorize for recruitment of a full-time administrator and perform the recruitment utilizing the guaranteed offered by CPS HR Services.
Okay. And I will second that. Any discussion?
No more.
Okay.
The only experience I've had with CPS services is the recruitment that we just ended. There are other recruitment firms. The city of Rio Grande has engaged two different recruitment firms. One successfully, one not successfully, and I'm not certain that just because the you know, there is a guarantee, and the price would probably be lower if we engage CPS again. They didn't come up with a large pool of candidates, would be my concern about that. We would have to have not only the board, but probably our technical consultants work, I think, pretty closely with CPS to make sure that we got a pool of candidates that would be satisfactory, I think, in the position.
And I think we, as a board, can specify we want to interview them all or more than just two. So I think we share those concerns. Anyway, let's do a roll call.
Board Member White?
Yes.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Chairman Scholes?
Yes. Okay, let's move on to, let's see, item 6B. Mr. Carr.
Yes, Chairman and Directors, we have before you a recommendation for an adjustment to the budget. And in particularly, we're dealing with two line items, one of which is the outside attorneys. This is a revision of what we've done about a month and a half ago. And the other one is an adjustment to the engineering line item. That one covers your technical consultants. It also covers other engineering help that we employ from time to time. The original budget amounts have been identified for you in the recommendation as well as the background and discussion. We're recommending the resolution that was attached, which includes particularly for the engineering a kind of a scrounging, if you will, that's probably not a technical term, of funds that appear to be available from the district administrator budget. We may be able to save some chemicals, and there was one other item that I, the professional services that I recommended that we used. With regard to the professional services for outside attorneys, we've recommended using the unbudgeted revenue that is held at the county. And we've recommended, we're telling you we think we need another $50,000, and I'm dancing around it, recommending $30,000. We'll probably revisit it again. But I'm just setting myself up for failure by asking for 30 now. That's it.
Okay. Any questions of staff? Karen?
No.
Jim?
So the unbudgeted amount says the available fund balance held by the district by the county. Is that not in fact allocated mostly to our Fund 20, the...
Well, you have taken in revenue that was not budgeted into being used for this year. It's money that has to be spent, and if you know, it can be Fund 19.
So,
but it's all. I know you're trying to protect the expansion money and the redundancy money. I understand that.
That's my concern. I'm also reminded that we raised the rates for our district ratepayers fairly substantially to cover the redundancy project, and what we've spent by just back of the envelope calculations over $350,000 on is legal fees. And I don't believe that the representation that we made, if we're going to spend that on legal fees when we represented that we were going to spend it on The redundancy project is really being honest and transparent with our constituents that are paying the bill for this thing. Let's see, further questions. It's conceivable that expenditures, I'm quoting from the staff report, it's conceivable that expenditures could stabilize with completion of various investigations. How many investigations? How many of these investigations have been authorized by the board? Two that I know of. I'm aware of probably seven investigations, maybe more. We've had no accountability of that, and I'm loath to provide a blank check for those things.
We haven't authorized any in the last 3 months.
That's encouraging.
We and we are being billed for work that occurred as much as 30 days ago, and we all were together during those experiences. As painful as they are, they have to be paid for. I have no more to respond to you, Director.
And I'm not. I'm probably sharing your frustration. I look at the potential for scrounging, if you will. I think that's a great term. I think it's a good technical term in this case. Equipment maintenance. We have equipment maintenance issues. Trickling filter drive. Headworks, the digester, those all come to mind as rather large equipment maintenance issues. You know, is that money really there?
Well, we know that you budgeted this money because you wanted to spend it this year. And what I did was I went back to say, okay, here's where we are at 25% of the year. We're at the first quarter. And we know we have projects out on the horizon. We know we're dealing with repairing some equipment that has to be done to put the digester back into operation. We think we're working within that budget. We would like to come back and do digester number two, and that's not in the budget. Mm-hmm. So, yes, you're right to be concerned about that, Director. But then again, you only have so many people working, and they may not be able to complete all that work within the fiscal year, regardless of whether or not it has to be done. So one is at 10%, the other one, was, I think, is at 20%, and that's 21% at the 25% process. Mm-hmm. No rocket science that I've used here. I've just used my past experience that sometimes this works, sometimes it doesn't.
And I appreciate that. I'll wait to hear from the public, of course, but my initial response to this is I do see the need for engineering services, but the legal, in my observation, has been self-directed and tends to take on a life of its own. An example being that one of the public commenters mentioned cost of public records requests, and as near as I can tell, partners in the law firm are redacting documents for public records requests, which seems to me hopefully highly unusual and very wasteful of district funds. So I don't see the benefit of authorizing more money for legal expenses on this, to be quite honest at this point. Again, I have not heard from members of the public, so we'll see.
Isn't most of this funds that have already been spent? I mean, isn't this actually money that's owed, not money that we're going to spend in the future?
Well, as near as I can tell, there's self-directed work that's been gone on. The board hasn't approved it. As near as I can tell, I've seen no accountability other than ceaseless billings and no work product demonstrated, with very limited exceptions. So
legal counsel, obviously we need to try and protect the district from further litigation and whatnot. So what can we disclose regarding, I know there's been a number of investigations, amount, so I'm just trying to understand where's that balance.
We're prohibited from the rights to privacy, the constitutional rights to privacy, from identifying any of these investigations in public because they were personnel investigations. I can say that in general, our approval is through the personal policy manual. All authorizations have been followed to the letter of the law in the manual for retaining these type of services. And the board, in closed session on at least two occasions, has been briefed on all of these matters. And I do have memos from closed session to refresh the board's memory.
Okay. And then we had Alicia Lara helping us with the personnel manual, and I know she's no longer under contract. Can you just clarify? I know that we still have someone that's helping provide that service, correct?
Yes. That has been a joint project between your technical consultants, and we have some negotiation going on between ourselves and the SEIU. Also, we have brought Alicia in to help us close off the last final items that we have to do to bring it into the update that we think is appropriate. We are coming to you. I believe Rick has, I have it on the agenda tonight for, I think it's the 15th. We are planning to bring that personnel manual. I have it under the last item, our technical.
Okay. Great. Thank you. So let me open this up to the public and see if there are members of the public that would like to address this item.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. Last meeting, you approved a contract amendment with...
Did you want to... Air conditioning? Yeah, hang on a second.
Yeah, no one knows how to turn it down. Oh. Up, down.
Whatever. All right.
Do you know? You're an engineer. Do you know how to adjust the air conditioning in this room? Because we're freezing.
We are totally free.
We are all freezing. Us with extra layers.
Our technical
layers.
Consultant is working on the problem.
All right. Julie, we'll start over.
Thank you. Last meeting, you extended a contract with Michael Nunley, $50,000 more dollars. So I guess maybe we should have seen this budget adjustment before that, because now... we need it for the professional services. Something that I wanted to point out was when the board adopted the budget, Mayor Hill went methodically through that budget, and your board approved the changes that he brought about. Mr. Huebner came back sometime later saying there was complications or difficulty trying to implement those changes, and I don't think we ever landed on a real budget to see what it looked like. You adopted it predicated on the changes that Ms. Mayor Hill put before you. But one of the things that you all agreed on was reducing the line item. You can't reduce the cost because lawyers charge what they want. Reducing the line item for professional services for in-house counsel and the outside counsel so that you could watch what was being billed. you get warrants, you get to see, you know, a few thousand here or a lot there, but this is exactly why you did this back when you adopted the budget, is so that you could make conscientious decisions about advancing the budget line items so that then you could incur more cost. Not the other way around. And the LCW work does appear to have taken on a life of its own. And when they did that, they took a risk. And the risk they took is that your board would deny the payment. You don't just get to go out and do work and expect to be paid if you didn't ask for previous approval. So I'm with Jim on this in that, you know, professional services to get the maintenance done and the construction done and the things that have to be done at the plant makes sense. But to continue outside counsel and the suggestion that there's maybe, and I respect that Paul says he wants to put it at 30, put it at 30 so that we can talk about it again, because it's gonna, if it goes over, we want to know why and we want to have a healthy discussion about it. But it's staggering to think that it could go up and up and up and up. And what are we anticipating the rest of this year? So that we would need outside counsel. You know, we've had the water board in the past. That's outside counsel. But I don't know that we should be over the human resources issues, and we should be dealing with our general counsel from here on.
Is there anyone else?
Ron Holt for Rio Grande. I don't know if this is possible, but we've already tried to get some more clarity as to exactly what's going on with the warrants from, or the bills from LCW. Maybe to find out at least where, what's going and coming where, maybe we could anonymize, you know, say for project for A, B, C, D, this is the billing for this, this is the billing for that, and so on, so that at least we get some kind of feedback as to where this money is going for the lawyers. Because it's really, when you get one massive bill for several different things, it's really hard to judge on that. And I don't know if that's possible, but I would like to see something like that if that could be done. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Holt. Is there anyone else?
I have some alarm bells going off, and I'm hoping that you can explain this to us. But there's a comment in here that in the report to the board that funds are coming out of monies at the county. And so I'm wondering, are they coming from the fund that is from connections that's supposed to be for long-term expansion? Or are they coming from reserves? Where is this money coming from? Are we actually, do we have more coming in than we have going out right now? And none of that was clear to me in all of this. And it's the kind of slippery language that resulted in the malappropriations we had of a few years back. And so if I were a director, I would be asking that question. And I wanted to just go back to that, because at one point it was, the administrator was no longer allowed to take monies from this fund, because it was contrary to the district guidelines in Resolution 24 enacted in 1966, and then it was confirmed by the district's outside auditor in their report to the Board of Directors in 2000 and 2012 audit. And so I want to make sure that the chair, because it was taken away from the administrator, that the chair isn't going to be signing away funds again, which we signed away for many years in violation of our guidelines and our ordinances, and that the connection fees money cannot be used for anything but expansion. and that we're not going to be taking from those from the expansion fund or reserves. And I want to again express my concerns about the legal fees. And again, the Knudsen report referred to those multiple times, saying they were the result of mismanagement at the district, and that there was a conflict of interest in that, that that directors and the legal counsel were using district funds to defend themselves against charges against them. And I'm a little concerned that that's maybe what we're looking at doing again, and I'd like the board to take that very seriously. And one of the things that Knudsen recommended was that in his experience outside of the government, this is on page 121, outside counsel with outside consultants would look at the conflict with a clearer vision of the issues and in all likelihood could fashion resolutions without squandering ratepayers' funds. And he's suggesting it is
Debbie,
a potential conflict of interest. Thank you. Just in time.
Perfect. Anyone else?
Hi, Colin Kubel. I just wanted to find out who is reviewing the bills that come in from LCW to make sure they're accurate, to review them, to make sure they're not excessive, to make sure they're not going over and doing the redacting on the things from in-house, from that legal firm, those types of things. Who's doing that? I would like that answered. And to find out if the board is aware of those reviews also, or is it just taking at face value because a bill has been received, it's just being paid. So I think some investigation, not investigation, but review needs to go be happening there. If that in fact is for work done, then show us transparently. We know that because of confidentiality personnel, you can still identify without going into confidential information a personnel investigation like was stated before me, A, B, C, or D, how that's going, the progress that's happening, those kinds of things that can be transparent. Those things can be done. There's just too much that is not transparent on everything that's going on with this budget and with things that are happening in the Sand District. It all needs to be brought out. If those things were done, none of us would have to be standing up here doing this. We would already know where we're at, why this is happening. So it just needs to have a second look. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Ron Arneson. You guys are responsible for all these bills, these law bills, these the LCW. Their work product was poor, and they really thought they did a great job, but they were really poor. They were authorized a certain amount, and no one's put their finger down to say that's where it stops. You let them have an open checkbook. It's your responsibility to stop these guys. It's your responsibility to bring forward to the public and to yourself what they're billing for. We need to know what they're doing. They're just writing bills and you're paying them. That's ridiculous. What kind of board are you guys?
Anyone else?
Shirley Gibson Halcyon. I had one comment about the redaction. That probably was focused on the investigation because that 3,700 pages probably had to be redacted by the attorney for any personal information that was on there. So, number one, I'm glad that legal counsel explained to us that we, the public, are really never going to know details about the litigation costs. They're about personnel issues. We're not going to know. So, I mean, I think that's a fact of life. And I think that basically when there are so many contentious, angry meetings on almost a monthly basis with the Sand District, that's how you end up with lawsuits sometimes. So hopefully people can be more civil and take a different tact.
I support Mr. Karp on his requests. I think he's got a very and deep experience, and basically I trust his judgment. Thank you.
Is there anyone else?
Patricia Price. The angry public came after the investigations, not before. I know that the investigations were not caused by the public. The public has been monitoring, asking about them. I agree that they could be termed a personnel investigation with an itemized amount on it. Like someone said, A, B, C, D, just to itemize it. We've been asking for this since the beginning. What is going on? You know, how many investigations? That shouldn't be a secret. If it's five personnel investigations, then tell us it's five personnel investigations. I think that sounds really suspicious to me. How come the personnel is being investigated? The investigations didn't come. They came before. The angry public came afterwards.
Is there anyone else? See anyone come forward? Let me close it and bring it back to the board. Okay. Maybe legal counsel and Mr. Karp, can you, I think there was a question regarding reviewing of legal bills when they come in. Can you maybe address that question?
Certainly. All legal bills are not placed on the warrant register until they've been reviewed and approved by staff. On some occasions, I've been asked to by the district administrator to review and approve those bills. I have not reviewed and approved them for quite some time, and the district staff or administrators have been doing that. Each bill comes in, has a separate account number, and each of the board members is free to visit the files at the district, and you can review all of the actual billings. And certainly the amounts we've spent in totals, you know, could be revealed, and I think we have received requests, Public Records Act requests for that amount.
Okay, and then maybe you and Mr. Karp can appreciate Mr. Holt's comments with respect to, is there a way that, I don't know if we can get a full itemization, but is there a way we can do this generally to provide a little more information to the community? I think I think in line with what's anticipated for the rest of the year, as well as is there, you know, I don't think we can get line items, but what legally can we?
Prospectively?
Yeah.
We certainly share Mr. Karp's view that we should see a dramatic decrease in attorney billing from here throughout the end of the year.
Okay. Where's the board want to go? Jim, do you have any more additional comments?
I'm concerned that our district council has not reviewed all of the attorney billings. For example, is it common for partners of a firm to do redactions? That seems to me when there are associates that are billing at considerably reduced rates from partners, that may not be the most economical use of attorney time.
It's true that there are different levels of hourly fees in law firms, and when there is grunt work to do, you use an associate that's at a lower level hourly. I'm not sure the specifics of why a partner at LCW was reviewing those bills, other than she was probably the one most familiar with the issues and was most familiar with the redactions that would be necessary. Otherwise, you would have a junior associate with no knowledge of the issues reviewing it, and then having the partner review the junior associate's work to verify that it's correct. So then you're actually getting double billed for two attorneys to do the work, so it may have been more efficient, but I said I wasn't in direct contact with her, so I can't speak to that.
Well, noting that in one case the associate wrote most of the legal opinions and conclusions and so forth, I'm again left questioning why the partner would do something like redacting names and so forth. It just doesn't, again, seem to me to be economical.
And perhaps you can pass that on. So what's before us is a budget adjustment, and I just want to make sure I've got this correct because I'm reading staff report. Paul, you're basically saying that right now we're at $52,002, 2005, and that's over the budget $50,000. You're looking for an additional $30,000 on that particular front, but there's also other professional services and engineering that we're looking to make an adjustment at this time.
That's an excellent summary. Thank you.
Okay. Well,
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind taking these separately, I would move approval of the staff recommendation to increase the professional services engineering budget from $50,000 to $150,000 as recommended by staff.
Okay. I don't know if it makes... So I'll second that. Okay. Still roll call.
Yes. Board Member White?
Yes.
Board Member Hill?
Yes.
Director Scholes?
Yes. Okay.
Okay. Then I guess I'll make a motion that we pay the other part of it.
So you're moving that we adjust the budget to $30,000 for outside counsel and litigation?
Yes.
Okay. And I'm going to second that. Because these are funds that have been spent, and I think, as Ms. Tacker said, if this does go over that amount, we would expect to have information about that. I think that allows us to do that. So there's a motion. Is there a second? Any additional discussion? If not, let's do roll call.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hill?
No.
And Chairman Scholes?
Yes. Okay, so then let's move back to item 5A, which we held over. Now, I had taken public comment on this. Can we move forward with just a vote on this, legal counsel, or do I need to open this item back up? We can move forward with. Okay.
I make a motion we approve the warrants.
Okay. I'll second that. If there's no additional discussion, roll call.
Director White?
Yes.
Director Hill?
No.
Chairman Scholes?
Yes. Let's move on to item 6C, which is technical consultants and plant operations report. Mr. Carp.
Yes, sir. I have placed the report in your packet. We've identified the changes on the technical stuff by italics, as we have in the past. We've added another section, which is our attempt to talk about future agendas at the end of the technical report. We've identified a few items. We've added to that the rotation of location onto the future agenda also. We've been doing 6 months in Arroyo now, but those that I've identified at the end of the report remain to be those under consideration, in addition to the report individually on the various projects and on the conditions of the plant. May I answer any questions from the board members?
Any questions, Karen? You have any questions?
If we had anything new on the centrifuge repairs.
Okay, right now at the centrifuge, what we are involved in, we've pretty much completed the digester cleaning. However, because we are rebuilding the existing centrifuge, it's about time to do that, and the screw that moves the materials over to that centrifuge. This is the one in the large building at near the boundary of the plant and the levee. And that work is being done, and we are going to rent the rental centrifuge for another couple of months while we're doing that work. The projection is that we get that in the area of Christmas all. So that's where we are on the centrifuge.
And the primary digester is moving along, too.
Primary digester is moving along. We're looking at some valving replacements that have not been done since the 1960s when the plant was established. We're hoping we don't get any surprises on that. We've asked Mr. Nunley to help us with that particular one. We're going to have to get some a contractor in there to help us with that particular area. We're also looking at the finish of the coating on the inside of the digester. It's been identified for reapplication. And it's like a remodel project at your home. Sometimes you find things that you need to do while you're doing these, and we'll keep you posted with our regular twice monthly report as we go along.
Thank you.
Jim? Regarding the headworks, it says we were going to install a spray mechanism to improve discharge to be in conformance with the specs. Is that completed, or is this still not operational?
We're operating the headworks, which we were down for a little while because of a problem that prevented us from operating it. But now we are operating that within the limits of it being operational so that we can remove the rags as it go in. But that spray matter is not going to be addressed until about mid-November when the equipment arrives with FRM. FRM has some scheduling conflicts in another area with the equipment they're installing, but they're closing in on a date to complete that.
Okay.
And it's going to be in the middle to late November.
Have we captured lessons learned on this project? Because I know this whole thing was contemplated before your time here, so it's not an issue with our current technical consultants, but I think for hopefully the future, can we capture lessons learned and try to make sure that a significant project like this doesn't kind of head south like it seems this one has been wont to do?
Yes, sir.
Okay, we have funding on the redundancy project. Have we made any progress on funding for redundancy? Noting the things that concern me with that is that our audit's not complete, and we have other questions on funds that we haven't figured out the accounting for yet. Are we moving forward with funding for redundancy, or is that kind of...
We're proceeding along those lines. However, I want to put some comfort if this helps you. I've got my all-star bookkeeper back. I'd like to welcome Amy, who's taking minutes tonight. And she's finishing up day two by the end of the night, and we're looking forward to working with her to address the concerns that you brought to our attention, Mr. Hill.
Okay, thank you.
As well as the Rick and I are working with the audit. And of course, Amy's got her eye on getting the next audit going because it's time to do that also. I'm feeling pretty comfortable that with resumption of that operation that we're going to keep the team together for a short time, and then we will be able to start just reducing that part of the staff and going back to the operation that we once had that you've found to be acceptable. So, yes, I can't give you a date today. I mean, the woman's only been back for almost 2 days. But we are helping her. We don't plan to just let her swim and continue the stuff. We're trying to keep the operation going while she gets into that that study with us and with our previous accounting staff. So as soon as we can lay them off, we'll do that. Ms. Boyd is no longer working for the district.
Okay. Yeah, thank you for that. I'm sure you're being as...
I did want to highlight that the lab is back in operation. You had asked about that at the last meeting. We are back in operation, and that's all being done in-house again.
Good. Okay, that's good news as well. The biosolids concrete slab, is that something that we're funding out of Fund 20? Is potentially
It's Fund 9. I think it's Fund... Amy, do you know whether that's Fund... It's. I have to get back. I think it's Fund 19. But okay. It is... We are. Our plan is to have that completed when we have the centrifuge completed and have all that operational at this nearly the same time. We may have the centrifuge completed before it arrives, but that's our target so that we can just start using that slab. And that's going to add a little bit of utility to our staff who have to manage the solids that come off of that centrifuge.
Right.
That was a budgeted item, and we plan to proceed that way. Mr. Nunley is... now been given the authorization to proceed with getting those bid documents ready.
Okay, thank you for that. I was just mostly curious if that, you know, might be something that could be considered an expansion project. The INI study, it says we're evaluating cost to benefit. I would hope the benefit is assuring that we're not putting untreated effluent into the groundwater in the dry season. Financial initiative, we've already talked about that. The NPDES permit, this is a draft permit. It's not likely to be released for public review before late 2017. It's kind of, that's like now.
Well, you know, we're waiting for the board on that. That's not something that we have control of.
Okay.
The water board, I'm sorry. Lest anyone in the audience think it's this board. It's not this board.
Okay. And then revised brine disposal plan on site. We drained oil, I see, and drained and replaced oil on the FFR distributor drive. Were there any traces of water or anything of concern when we did that?
Nothing's been brought to my attention in that area.
Okay. And then I just don't understand. It says checked amp readings from each leg of gearbox. That, just curious about that. But thank you for the report.
Paul, I just want to clarify, and we probably discussed this at one of the meetings I was not able to make due to work commitments. We do have a clear path to respond to the additional request for the State Water Resources Board with respect to financing for the redundancy project.
Could you
for the redundancy
help me with
project,
the question?
I'm looking under financing.
Yes.
I think Jim brought this up. I just wanted to...
There were some projects that Mr. Huebner was working on with different agencies that might have money available and tying that into the groundwater thing. And Rick and I have not acted on those. We have that on the front burner, and we're ready to move on them. But we haven't...
Okay.
Proceeded. You may recall they wanted some additional redundant, well, we should call it, we would use the word redundant, but it's some environmental work that has already been done. They had asked us to redo that work, and before we proceeded with that, Rick and I wanted to look at it a little bit more closely. I think we're about ready to tell them to move on it.
Okay, great. And then looks like you did have a meeting with Glenn Burdett on October 16th.
We did, and we have another meeting with our accountant on Tuesday morning, and we're putting the finishing touches on what we think will be a finished audit, but I've given you dates before, and it hasn't come to pass, so we think we're close, and with Amy's help, I think we'll be able to, I don't want to put that on Amy. Okay. Please don't take it that way.
No.
Because really the work has to be done by the other person who's been doing the entries. But she's been helping me with accounting terms that I've lost my...
Gotcha. Okay. Well, and I would just say, given their performance, that's something that we might want to look at. Is this a firm we use, given this, the lateness of this being
done? You know, I talked to Amy about that today, and she seems to think they do a fine job. And the process has been that Rick and I have not been able to keep them moving. And that's our failure. That's not, well, we hate to share that with Burdett, I think.
Okay. Good to know. We appreciate your open and honesty. All right, let me open this up to the public if anyone's got any comments on the district manager on the technical consultants and plant operations report.
Julie Tacker again. I wondered whatever happened to the C train because it's no longer in the report. With the headworks and the new spray mechanism, I don't know what that is, and I'm hopeful because it sounds like it's going to use water. I'm hopeful that it's going to use treated wastewater to spray yucky stuff off of metal things. with regard to the financing and the need for more CEQA, I've mentioned this before, and I don't know entirely if I'm speaking the right language, but I want to be careful going through the hoops to chase state revolving fund monies with this recirculating of CEQA, redundant CEQA work, if maybe bonds don't need that. And because the time that it takes to redo the CEQA and renotice and go all through that, you are going to lose because money gets more expensive as time goes on. And then I'm unclear on the USDA, the idea of USDA helping out with one-third of the amount needed for the redundancy project due to, I believe, Oceano's disadvantaged community status. I'd like to know if Oceano is still disadvantaged. Has there been something recently done as far as an analysis of their, because recently I looked and your median household income is pretty, has gone up quite a bit. The revised brine disposal plan, I just, so everyone knows, I just did a public records request for this plan. I'd like to read it because it hasn't come to your board. Shouldn't be any redacting, shouldn't cost very much to actually read a plan. I have a concern over the idea of an executive committee. And there's a note here that there was a lunch meeting on October 13th, and there's going to be another lunch meeting sometime in the near future. My concern is this executive committee, as I understood it, was going to be made up of the city managers, so Jim Bergman, Mr. Bronson, and Pavel Ogren. These are the same people, just like you are the same people, who are partners in the NCMA. They're partners in the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. What Oceano's not, but everybody's on board with the same things. And yes, we have the same goal in that we want to recycle water. But my concern is that the district needs to remain autonomous and that the wastewater treatment does not end up having to pick up the cost of recycled water, because the benefit of recycled water is for supply. And so I just caution you to going down this executive committee road in that let's keep our conversations separate so that the district can stand on its own two feet and stand alone when it has to stand up to some of the other pressures that the other agencies do
Thank you, Julie.
Present.
Is there anyone else?
Ron Arnelson. I'd just like to comment on the difference between what's happening right now in our district and the ability of the people that are reading, that are leading our district, the interim people, their ability to know the sewer plant, to know what's going on there, as opposed to what happened in the past. They actually are professionals, and I think that when you put together a brochure for the next person, you might want to have a disclaimer there that this is actually a sewer plant, and there's actually an odor there, and if you can't stand the odor, do not apply for this job. So, you know, that's just one of the things right off the bat that started with our last administrator, and I'd like to comment, compliment the two gentlemen that are running the plant now, and it seems to be moving forward very nicely. Thank you.
Is there anyone else? Okay, seeing no one come forward, let me close and bring it back. And this is just a receive and file. So we now can move to any board member communications. Okay. Yeah, okay, we don't have any closed session items tonight. And so I think with that, then we are adjourned.
The next meeting is going to be here on the 15th, I think it is, 2 weeks from today.
Okay.
I only mentioned, Director White, that on the last page of my report, I listed some future items for the board's consideration. My assumption is I'm going to carry those items, including a tech memo report, which Kennedy Jenks is going to do here in person at our next meeting, which you may have some questions about groundwater and all of those kinds of things. But we do plan to have it right here in Arroyo Grande. The first meeting we're going to plan for Oceano OCSD is the first meeting in 2018. So that shouldn't be a conflict for the holiday season.
So just clear, we're going to meet here for the next meeting.
Yes, and we recommend that we do that until 2018.
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Okay. We really are officially adjourned at this time.